The 24 Shades of Blue Cold Case Edition is about real, ongoing investigations. The following conversation may be disturbing to some people and is not recommended for all ages. Viewer discretion is advised. Sukhvir Dio, a 35-year-old man, met a tragic end on a seemingly ordinary day. He was in his Range Rover in Midtown Toronto on June 7th, 2016, when two men wearing construction vests, one green and one orange, ambushed him with gunfire at 2:50 p.m. on June 7th, 2016. Dio died at the scene, his vehicle riddled with over 14 bullet holes. But the question on everyone's mind was, why? 2 weeks prior to the shooting, Sukhvir had attended a basketball game, and a photo tweeted from that night has sparked rumors that it may have played a role in his murder. Was this a targeted hit? A random act of violence? The investigation is ongoing. This is 24 Shades of Blue Cold Case Edition. My name's Anime, the new host for this series. I'd like to welcome back Acting Detective Sergeant Steve Smith to the show. Steve, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Anime.
And so, Steve, could you tell us about the incidents leading up to this tragedy?
Yeah, on a June day, Mr. Dio was driving his Range Rover. He was in the area of Yonge and Eglinton. He was parked in a laneway, a cowbell laneway, obviously in amongst a bunch of condos. And while he was sitting there in his Range Rover, two males dressed as construction workers walked up and put about 14 bullets into his vehicle, striking him and killing him.
And so we're looking at a photo right now. I believe this is the laneway that you're speaking of. It's a quite wide laneway with a lot of condo buildings surrounding it. Is it a high traffic area?
Oh, absolutely. You're talking Yonge and Eglinton in the middle of the afternoon. I mean, there's people everywhere on the streets. And it's a very affluent area as well. So there's a lot of condos, a lot of people coming and going in this area. And he was just sitting there, and the two people in question walked right by a number of people on the street. So it wasn't like they were out randomly looking for people. And they specifically went directly to his Range Rover vehicle that he was sitting in.
And it seems so odd. I mean, it's in the middle of the afternoon, parked right in a very highly dense populated area. There must have been something about Dio. Can you tell me about his background, his lifestyle?
Yeah, Mr. Dio was involved in the high-level gang network. He had had some problems out on the west coast of Canada, and he had moved to Ontario. While in Ontario, he got himself into a bit more trouble in regards to drugs. And as you can see by what happened in this event, this was a very targeted event.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we're looking at another photo now, and you said it's targeted. This is the Range Rover you were referring to, and it is riddled with bullets, and specifically just in the driver's seat. I mean, I don't see anything on the body, but it's fully targeted to kill that driver. Is that correct? Is that what you see too?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they walked up, and as you can see by the short spread of the bullets, the person knew how to handle a weapon. So they walked right up to the driver's side, and they purposely put bullets directly into Mr. Dio. So they were there for no other purpose but to basically execute Mr. Dio in broad daylight.
And it's funny because I'm looking at this vehicle now, and it doesn't look like he was in hiding or some sort of inconspicuous type of vehicle. It's a white Range Rover, very big. I don't think the windows are tinted at all. So he wasn't really in hiding. What do you think about that and his thoughts? His personality.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're living that lifestyle, you've got to make a decision. Are you going to hide and try to save your life, or are you going to go out and live your life and whatever happens, happens? I mean, sometimes it's live by the sword, die by the sword. As we said, when he was seen on TV at the Raptors game, that may have given some people a heads up as to where he was. And shortly after that, they were able to find him and obviously pay some people to come up and actually execute him in broad daylight.
And sorry, I know you talked about the basketball game. I mean, there are 20,000 people at a basketball game. How could anyone see him?
I guess if you're sitting very close to where the players are sitting, there's a good chance that you may be on on camera. It's again, it's a lifestyle, right? Some of these people that are involved in high level gang networks, they want to be seen. They want to flash their money. They want to buy Range Rovers. They want to be, you know, courtside at the Raptors. That's their lifestyle, is to be seen, to see and be seen. And unfortunately, in this, his involvement in this, the criminal lifestyle, resulted in his death.
Right. And so I'm just trying to link and connect some dots. So you did mention that he was in BC before and he relocated to Ontario. Did you mention it was because of drug trafficking?
Well, there were some events in BC and it may involve some money that may or may not have been paid to certain people, whether they thought they had been paid or not. And he, as a result, ended up in Ontario. Once he was here, there was some more events where he was arrested by the police for drug involvement. He hadn't been convicted of that yet when he was shot dead. But I mean, regardless of his lifestyle and such, he didn't deserve to be a homicide victim. And we still want to bring the people that are responsible for this to justice, regardless of both the people that actually did the shooting, as well as the people that orchestrated the shooting and paid these people to do this as well.
No, absolutely. And just one thing that I've noticed is that because he relocated from BC to Ontario, it sounded like almost that he was hiding, but yet that flipped as soon as he came to Ontario, because it looked like he was just out in the open and just living his life. Is that how you take his scenario?
Yeah, pretty much hiding in plain sight. I mean, there may have been inclinations that he had went back overseas, so people may not have been actively looking for him in and around Ontario. But then when it became obvious that he was here and living in Toronto, obviously it wasn't long after that that people came to find him.
Mm-hmm. And one thing you mentioned, and I'm super curious about, is that there were two construction workers, and the two construction workers were the ones who killed him. So do you know anything about them? Were they hired hitmen or just someone in a gang in Toronto?
We can only speculate, but I mean, judging from the situation, they arrived in a small vehicle. They got out of that vehicle. They were wearing construction vests, so they fit right in the area, as though they should be in that area. They walked right by numerous people on the street in their vehicles. They walked right up to Mr. Dio, and obviously they shot him numerous times. So our thoughts are that they were paid to actually do that. Now, whether they were from Toronto, whether they brought in from BC, whether they brought in from overseas specifically to commit this act, that part we don't know, but we haven't been able to identify these people. But they weren't worried about being on camera and such. In these areas, there's cameras everywhere, and they had no concern. They walked right up being on camera, knowing that they were on camera, and committed these acts and got in their vehicle and drove away right afterwards.
Yeah, no, that's insane in my mind. I mean, so they came up in a small vehicle. Were there any clues there? What type of vehicle?
It was a small sedan. We don't want to get too much into exactly what vehicle it was, but it was a small sedan. And they pulled up innocuously, parked the vehicle. They knew exactly where he was. So somebody was giving information as to where he was, because they parked and they walked directly to his vehicle.
And did anyone see them walk away?
They walked away back in the vehicle and off. Like I said, everything was on camera. So it's not like they were hiding this. They were there and it was very publicly done. There was no worry about anything that was around, witnesses around, cameras around. They were there for one reason, and they went and executed exactly what they were there to do, and then they made good their escape after that.
Steve, this is such an unbelievable incident, and I'm so glad your team is on it to solve and to help make our community safer. But to support you, do you have any messages or asks to our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough case to solve, but I mean, we do know that there's going to be people that know exactly what happened here. There's a high level of gang activity, and this was obviously a targeted event, but there would have been people involved in the planning of this as well as the execution of it. And anybody that has any information can come forward to us. We understand that the people have these sort of means, so people's lives may be in jeopardy in this, but there's ways to get the information to us anonymously. We don't need to know who's providing the information, but we do need the information as to who set this up, for Mr. Dio to be killed, and who actually executed the event where they walked up and executed him so publicly. If we could get names of either of those people, we would be able to go back and use traditional policing means to bring these offenders before justice.
Mm-hmm. And so one important note, just to reiterate, because this is gang related, it's important to note that any evidence can be disclosed to the police privately. And so they just need to reach out to Crime Stoppers, and your privacy is protected. So thank you so much, Acting Detective Sergeant Steve Smith. And thank you to all of our listeners for joining us. This is 24 Shades of Blue.